Good to see each other here this morning. Hope you'll receive a blessing from our services today.
Amen.
Hope all of you received a copy of the 101 book. We'll be using that this morning. Let's turn to song number 13. Song number 13 in the 101 book.
Thank you.
Next week, I'm going to have a little short church meeting after the morning service to talk about missions and also Pastor Reddy. And then also, Brother Mark Reno contacted me about Sister Rachel's birthday. It's May 20th. She turns 40 years old, May 20th. He asked me if I'd bring it up to the church, what he would like to do starting April 11th, from April 11th to May 20th, which is her birthday, is 40 days. And what he would like to do is he'd like to give her a birthday card starting April 11th up to May 20th, a birthday card every day up to her birthday. So he asked the church if anybody would like to send Rachel a birthday card. Get with me, and we'll send it to, or you can send it to his office address down there in Maryland. And then also, next Sunday as well, during that little meeting, we're going to discuss our Sunday evening service times, so whether we want to move it in a little bit to maybe 5:30, 6, just so people that work late can get home earlier. So we'll discuss that as well. That's about all I have.
On that note, for the time being, our Sunday evening service is at 6:30, so I hope to see all of you here tonight at that time. Hope you'll come and enjoy another great service, and Pastor has been having us study in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I think you'll enjoy that study, so I hope you'll come and be with us this Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m. All right, we aren't going to take the time to go over it right now, but don't forget our memory verse that we've been going over in Titus chapter 2. We've been covering verse 11. Starting next Sunday, we will include verse 12 with it. So if you would like to continue studying that, you certainly can do so. And then the other service time is Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. If you would like to come with us, we have a prayer and Bible study. Currently, Pastor has been looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, so I hope you'll come and be with us on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. All right, let's take our 101 books once again and turn to number 64. The reason why we meet in God's house is we want to hear more about the Lord Jesus, and that's what this song is all about. Tell me the old story of Jesus and his love.
Tell me your story, send me.
pastor was talking about in Sunday school. It's number 96. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. If you're able to stand, why don't we do so on this one as well? Number 96.
Your hearts. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. When the world is tossed, sing me like a ship upon the sea. Thou who rulest wind and water, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. In the midst of faults and failures, stand by me. When I do the best I can, Stand by me.
I'm thankful that the Lord stands by us. Even there's times where we don't stand by Him, He will stand by us. Even in times, it's the question I ask a lot when I have an opportunity to talk with people, especially with the last job I had as a chaplain. One of the questions I would ask is, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? What do you desire? That's the question this morning, not only for church this morning, but as a whole, if I could ask everyone in the world, is the question is, what do you desire? Because what you desire is what you're going to go after. True? Whatever you desire, that's where your heart's going to be at. If you desire God or if you desire truth, then I believe if you desire truth, God will show you what the truth is. Okay? I honestly believe that. If you prayed or you asked God this morning, well, God, what's the truth? And you're sincere about it and you want to know, I have no doubt in my mind that God will bring you truth. No matter where you're at in this world, see, before we get into message, a lot of people will say, well, they'll bring up this question. They'll say, well, what about the people? What about the man that's over in the middle of Africa? What about him over there? I believe that man over there in the middle of Africa, this is what they'll say, that you believe that a man over in the middle of Africa, if he's never heard the gospel and he never gets saved, that he'll go to hell. How can a God do that if he's never heard? How could a God send somebody like that to hell whenever I have the opportunity? But I believe what the Bible says that God gives every man and every woman that's born on this planet a conscience. And the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. This past week, my son sent me a little article. I don't know where it was from, some mainstream magazine. But a scientist did a study on the eye, and they took micro pictures of the eye. And it blew my mind away because it looked like you were looking at a little universe. And when you just look at how the eye is made, there is no possible way that could have evolved. I forget the number that is on it. It's to the nth whatever, because I'm not good at math. A bunch and bunch of zeros of the chances of just an eye coming into existence. See, people don't think things through. They just take what's handed to them and they go with it. You know why they just go with it? Because they can still do what they want to do and they're not accountable to a God. You see, if God really exists, that means therefore then we are accountable to that God. And a lot of people don't like that. Because for the most part, all of us, myself included, are all sitting in the same seat, facing the same way, saying we don't like, our flesh don't like someone telling us what to do. Nobody likes anybody to tell them what to do. Especially when we're older. Like, who are you to tell me what to do? I know what I'm doing. I got this. The problem is, there comes a point where you don't got it. And the problem with that is, there may not be a second chance. You see, when I worked in the jails, and I worked in the prisons, and I worked at the juvenile center, I would often tell them, when I would preach to them, I'd say, son or young lady, you might not get that second chance.
You see, what was preached to those kids in there is you can change your life around. You can do this. You can do that. No, you might not get an opportunity to do that if you keep living the way you're living. I told you all a story before. That young man that came by my house at 2:30 in the morning on a Friday night, and he had no place to stay, and I let him stay in my house. And I believe God gave him an opportunity that night to make that thing right. And I let him stay in my house Friday night. I let him stay in my house Saturday night. Sunday, we went to church. And I've known this kid since he was eight, 9 years old. I knew he was involved in gangs. I knew he had probably had a gun with him. I knew he probably had drugs with him. I got four kids in the house. But God said, let this young man stay in your house. And I've known him from the time he was a little boy. And I remember talking to him and I said, Knowledge, you're at a crossroads. Because Sunday morning we got home from church and he said, Mr. Chris, I got to go take care of something down in the city. I knew what he was getting ready to go do. And I told Knowledge, I said, you're at a crossroads, son. You're at a crossroads. You need to make a decision. I know Mr. Chris. I know he's always respectful. And he ends up getting shot and killed that Wednesday night. So I take this serious this evening. What do you desire? Do you desire God? I believe if you desire God, I believe God will manifest himself to you and God will show you what is truth and God will answer the need of your heart this morning. I'm excited to be in church this morning. I'm excited to be up here full time and I'm excited to see what God can do. But I need some people to line up and be willing to get on the firing line and get on that battlefield to help fight this battle. Because the day is at hand. The night is far spent. We ain't got much time left. And the day of the Lord returning is drawing near. And I don't want to play games. There's too many churches today. Me and Brother Craig were talking. Too many churches today. I won't give you a dime for them. We say, who are you? Why would I want to go to a church that starts out with AC/DC? There's churches out there to do that. Down in South Carolina, where I come from, there's New Spring, Life Spring, whatever it was called, one of these mega churches. We want everybody to feel welcome in here. So we're going to open up with AC/DC and we're going to leave out with Beyonce. If I was lost, I wouldn't waste my time with that. I would just go to the club. Why would I come to church then if it's the same as out there? Why would I waste my time with it? Think about that for a second. If you're no different than the world, why am I wasting my time with it? There ought to be a difference in a Christian's life, and that's part of the problem today, is there's not no difference in the Christian life, so the world looks at it and says, well, you're the same as the world, and so to keep people in the church, we got to act like the world, because we don't have the truth, and there hasn't been a change in our life. There's got to be a change, and God changed me. I know God made a difference in me. I'm not what I used to be. When I was 22 years old, God changed me, and it's coming up on my spiritual, March 19th, I'll be saved for 21 years. And God did something with me. And God changed me. And God gave me that hope that I was looking for. God gave me that love that I was looking for. And it can do the same for you this morning. Take your Bible and look at 1 Kings chapter number 12. 1 Kings chapter number 12. We're going to look at this morning at the story of Jeroboam. The story of Jeroboam. He was the king right after Solomon. After God had taken away the kingdom from Solomon, he gave 10 parts to Jeroboam and 2 parts stayed with Solomon's son, Rehoboam. But 1 Kings chapter number 12 and verse number 25. Looking at Jeroboam this morning. 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse number 25. The Bible says here, it says, then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, who was the other king there, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank you for how wonderful you are. Lord, I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your long-suffering and your kindness towards us. And Lord, I ask this morning, Lord, that you would just bless your words. Help us to draw close to you. Help us to live for you. Help us to be different, that the world would see that there is a change in our life. And it's all because of what your Son, Jesus Christ, did for us there on Calvary 2,000 years ago. Lord, I pray you just bless now this preaching time, and we ask this now in Jesus' name, amen. You see, if you take your Bible and you flip back over to 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse number 26, you see here the rise of Jeroboam. You had Solomon. King Solomon was on the throne, but what messed King Solomon up was his heart turned away from God. And in the first part of chapter 11, the Bible says in verse number 1, 1 Kings chapter 11, but King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. Verse number 3, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. You see, one thing that is consistent from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through Revelation is the heart of man. God is always looking at the heart. Now, there's different ways that you come to God through those time periods, but it's all a matter of the heart. And the Bible says here, what turned the heart of Solomon away from God? He loved many women. Brethren, think about this. The Bible said Solomon had 700 wives and princesses. 300 concubines. You know what a concubine is? Basically, it's just a woman to have relations with. That's it. That's all she's there for. All she is there for is the bedroom. That's it. 300 of them. That's 1,000 women he had. If you do the math on it, if I'm correct, he could have slept with a different woman for 3.5 years every night. And guess what? He still wasn't satisfied. The Bible says that his heart was turned away because of the women that he loved, and he still wasn't satisfied. You can try everything in this life, and in the end, you're not going to be satisfied. Because it's always going to let you down. Always. Look, I used to go to the club. I would go drink when I was in the Air Force. I would get drunk. I would do all these things. And at the end of the day, next morning I wake up, I'm still like, I'm miserable. Is this, and I finally got in my mind when I was 20 something, is this it? Is this really, this is it? This is all this life can give me? I know I'm never going to be Bill Gates unless something happens to where a windfall money drops in my lap. Basically, I'm just going to be the average person out here. Is this all this life has to offer me? This is it. Like, there's nothing more that I can get. And the older I get, the more I realize this life moves fast. It moves quick. And there's nothing there that can fill that heart. Everything you try to grasp, like, it's like it slips through your hands. I won't do this in here right now, but if I take this water and I would pour it in there, I could hold it for a moment, but basically it's just going to slip right through. And that's what a lot of people in society today are doing. They're taking water and they're pouring it in and they're trying to hold on to it, but they might get a little bit of it. They might get a little taste of it, but ultimately it dries up and falls down and there's nothing there. Jesus Christ says he is living waters. And he'll satisfy. But Solomon here, his wife, his heart was turned away because of the wives he loved, and his heart went after strange gods. And God deals with Solomon. And in verse number 26 in chapter 11, and Jeroboam the son of Nebat, an Ephratite of Zerida, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zerah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man, Jeroboam, was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man, that's Jeroboam, that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. So Solomon, King Solomon, he's got all these wives, he's building all these cities, he's doing all this great work. And he sees this young man here named Jeroboam. And he sees that Jeroboam, he's a mighty man of valor, And he's an industrious young man. He likes to work. He does a good job of work. And he has some valor about him. And Solomon sees him and takes notice of him. And he promotes him to be a ruler over what the Bible says here, or charge over the house of Joseph. But the problem was, is that God was using Jeroboam as to be the next king to take Solomon's place, and he's going to take the ten tribes and give them to Jeroboam. And Solomon gets word of this. I'm not going to read it all, but the prophet comes to Jeroboam, rents his garment into 12 pieces, and he gives 10 to Jeroboam and says, God's going to give you these ten kingdoms, and you're going to be a king over them, but I'm still going to leave 2 because of David's sake, Solomon's daddy. But you're going to have 10, and you're going to be a king there. God's telling him this. And Solomon gets word of it, and he tries to kill Jeroboam. So when Jeroboam realizes that Solomon's trying to kill him, Jeroboam takes off to Egypt. He gets out of there. He's like, man, he's trying to kill me. I'm out of here. And when he gets word that Solomon's dead, he comes back to Israel. I'm kind of shortening this up there to get to my points. He comes back to Israel, and he comes before Solomon's son, who is now king, Rehoboam. He comes before him. He says, listen, with all the children of Israel, he comes to him and says, listen, your daddy dealt hard with me. If you deal a little bit easier with me, we'll be your servants forever. Just can you lighten it up a little bit? And so Rehoboam, look what he does, Rehoboam, in verse number, let's see, chapter 12, and look at verse number 4. Rehoboam, okay, Jeroboam comes to him, and look what Jeroboam says to him, verse number 4. Thy father made our yoke grievous, now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. Jeroboam says, if you lighten up a little bit what your daddy did, we'll serve you. But look at verse number 6. And King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer this people? And they spake unto him, the old men spake to Rehoboam and said, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and wilt serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But look at verse 8. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, and which stood before him. You know, a lot of problem today we have is that we seek counsel among our peers instead of those that have a little bit of wisdom and guidance and that are older. And you know what? It ends up costing him Rehoboam big time. Because he listened to his friends that were around him, they end up causing him problems and trouble. And he ends up losing the kingdom. God had already foreordained it. He loses the kingdom. This is a question I got. And I used to ask it to kids in the juvenile center and in the prisons and in the jails. How many people write you when you're in prison? I work a lot of men in prison, doing life sentences, death row. You know who they get the most letters from? Mom. They don't get it from the guys that are out in the street. Very few. They get it from the people that really love them. You see, when God puts you in a situation, sometimes God's trying to show you who really loves and cares for you and who really doesn't have your best interests in mind. When push comes to shove, especially in a gang culture, when push comes to shove, usually, sometimes it comes down to, hopefully I'm faster than you when I'm running from the police. I don't see any gang member saying, you know what, I'll be arrested for you while you all go. No, they all scramble. Now, you don't snitch, I get that. But most of the time, it's every man for himself. Rehoboam took counsel of the young men and ended up costing him part of the kingdom. So Jeroboam says, all right, you're not gonna lighten the load on us. You're going to make it harder for us, is what Rehoboam said. Rehoboam came to Jeroboam and said, listen, not only am I not going to lighten the load, I'm going to be 10 times worse than my daddy was to you. And Jeroboam says, okay, all right, I'm out of here. And all Israel follows Jeroboam. Now I'm getting to this point this morning. God spoke to Jeroboam, and God said to Jeroboam, I'm going to make you king. I am giving you 10 tribes out of the tribes of Israel. But look what happens in 2 Kings chapter 12, verse number 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David if this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord of Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Three things about Jeroboam. Number one, the Bible says he was a mighty man of valor. He had strength of mind in regard of danger. Listen, he was a man willing to go to battle. The second thing about him was he was industrious. He was a good worker. And number three about Rehoboam, he had a servant attitude. He was willing to serve. He was willing to follow. But he runs into trouble in chapter 12 here and verse number 26 when he consults with his own heart. You see, Rehoboam runs into trouble when he starts looking at what he sees rather than what God says. He sees and his heart's telling him that if I do what God commands to do, I'm going to lose the kingdom and I'm going to lose my own life. God did not tell him that. God said, I'm going to make you king. Just do what you're supposed to do. Obey my commandments and walk with me. God says, I'll give you the kingdom, God told him. But Rehoboam starts walking and he starts going off of what he sees. See, it came time to worship God. And he says in his heart, if I go down there and worship God like God's supposed to be worshipped, they're going to kill me. You see, because where he had to go worship was where King Rehoboam was at. And he says, if I go there, then Rehoboam, I'm going to come in there and Rehoboam's going to get some men and they're going to kill me. But what he didn't realize is that God already told Rehoboam, you can't kill him. Don't go after him. God told him that. Rehoboam says, all right, I won't do it. You say, what are you talking about this morning? He let the fear of his heart of losing the kingdom and his life dictate where and how the people should now serve and worship the Lord. Take your Bible and look at Isaiah chapter number 35 and verse number 4. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse number 4. Isaiah 35 and verse number 4. Isaiah 35 and verse number 4. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. So Isaiah is telling those in the kingdom of Israel to not have a fearful heart, which is what Jeroboam had. Flip on over to chapter 57, same book, Isaiah, and look at chapter 57 and verse number 17. Isaiah 57 and verse number 15. Jeroboam was fearful because of what he saw, losing the kingdom and losing his life. Look at Isaiah 57 verse 17. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth. Basically what God's saying through the prophet here is, these people, everything, they had a covetous attitude. They wanted everything that they saw because they were just trying to please themselves. And God says, I was wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. Fearful heart and going forwardly in the way of his heart. Look, Jeroboam, he should have been more concerned about being faithful to the Lord and his commandments and losing everything than keeping everything and losing fellowship with God. Do you see? Jeroboam should have been more concerned in doing what God said to do, even if it meant that God was going to take his life by Rehoboam. Jeroboam still should have done what God said, even though he might lose the whole kingdom and his very life. rather than keep the kingdom and lose his fellowship with God and his walk with God. You see, as a Christian, the temptation sometimes is to still want to hold on to this world. But you see, when you hold on to the world, you're losing your fellowship that you have with God. I'd rather have it to where you take the world and give me Jesus. Look, you can have it. You can have it. You can have everything this world can offer. I don't want it. I don't want it. Take your Bible and look at Matthew. I'm almost done. Matthew chapter number 4. I'm sorry. Yeah, Matthew chapter 4. Look what the Bible says here. Matthew chapter 4, and look at verse number 1. The Bible says this: Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Jesus, the Son of God, fully God and fully man, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, out into the woods, out into the desert, to be tempted of the devil. And he fasted. He didn't eat. The Bible says he didn't eat or drink for 40 days and for 40 nights. He didn't eat. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward he was hungered. Look at verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. The devil comes to Jesus. You see, the devil's watching. Satan's watching our every move. And he sees the Son of God here. And he sees that the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. And he notices that for 40 days and 40 nights, he does not eat anything. Now look, if I don't eat for one day, I get hungry. I get real hungry. If I miss breakfast and lunch, I'm looking at my wife saying, what you making for dinner tonight? Because I can't cook. I'm glad I got a wife that can cook, because I can't cook. That's just not my thing. I can do grilled cheese. I can do some Cheerios in a bowl with some milk. But that's about the extent of it. I tried making spaghetti one day. She wasn't feeling good. And the kids, she had already had sauce made. All I had to do was cook the spaghetti, and I burnt that. So I'm not a cook. So I know that if I don't have a fast food restaurant nearby or my wife, I'm in trouble. After missing one or two meals, Jesus goes for 40 days and 40 nights and he doesn't eat nothing. Now he's a man. He's all God, but he's still all man. You go for 40 days and 40 nights and you're barely going to be able to walk. The devil looks at his condition. He says, this is my prime opportunity to pounce. You see, the Bible says he's a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And this is his opportunity. You see, the devil wanted to be God from the very beginning. He wanted that throne. He wanted to be in charge. And here he sees his opportunity to take Jesus out. Bible says in verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said to him, he says, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You see, look, the devil's going to attack at your weakest moment. He's not going to wait when you're super spiritual strong and you're feeling good and the sun shines out and everything's going perfect today and nothing's wrong and you got all the money in the bank you need and you're paying your bills and everything's going good. No, he's going to wait. He's going to wait. He's going to wait till things start going downhill. It's raining outside. You slipped on the sidewalk. Your groceries fell all over the place. This happens over here. Now he's going to come at his opportunity. And that's exactly what he does with Jesus. And he comes to Jesus and he already knows who Jesus is. He knows Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. And he comes to Jesus and the question he asks, see, it's always a question. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? If if thou be the Son of God, if you're really God, if you're really the Son of God, I know you're hungry because I've been watching you for 40 days and 40 nights. If you're really God, make these stones bread, because I know you can do it if you're God. Be careful when people or things try to start to provoke you. If you were really a man, you would do this. If you were really this, you would do that. You just need to walk away. And don't let your pride get in the way. I'll prove to you, you might just prove it to the wrong person and not be here no more. Look, I watched that video and I don't recommend watching it. I've seen a lot of people die, and I don't recommend watching the video, but I watched it from the Allentown Police Department for that shooting that happened, what, a month or two ago about the snow incident? I saw the videotape on it. Horrific. And you know why? You know why three people died? Because everybody had pride. You ain't going to tell me what to do. You ain't going to tell what me to do. Right, right? Pop, 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 pop. Oh, I'm going to get my gun. Pop, pop. And now all three of them are dead. Because of pride. You ain't going to tell me what to do. Oh, you ain't going to tell me what to do. And the devil's sitting back there like, keep going, keep going. Get him, get him. Tell him this, tell him that. So he could drag you down to hell quicker than anything. Because his motto is, if I'm going down, I'm taking everybody with me that I can. Don't let the devil play you as a fool. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And look what Jesus says to him in verse number 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus looks at the devil and he says, look, he doesn't even take the devil's taunts. He doesn't take the devil's strategies. Jesus didn't have to prove himself to the devil. He just looks at the devil and he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus used the Bible, the sword of the word of God, to cut at the devil. You know why he did that? Because he knows we can't look at the devil and say, I created you, get out of my face, which is what Jesus could have said to him. Jesus could have looked at the devil and said, get out of here, I created you, you know who I am, get out, leave me alone. He could have done that because he's God. But he set something up for us who cannot do that. And he gave us a sword to use against the devil. And it's the word of God. That's why this book is so important. And that's why the devil wants to mess with it, change the words in it, take things out of it, and put things into it. And that's why this church will only, hopefully while I'm here, ever use just a King James Bible. Now look what the devil says. Now look, the devil doesn't run and because he's scared now of Jesus. Look, this should scare you. This scares me because this is Jesus he's dealing with. What's he going to do with me? Devil doesn't say, you're right. I'll leave you alone. It is written, man shall live. No, the devil's like, all right, you're going to use Bible? I'm going to use Bible. Look what the devil does. Verse number 5. The devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. Verse number 6. And saith unto him, here it is again, a question. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So the devil goes like this. The devil says to Jesus, okay, that was pretty good, Jesus. That was pretty good, Jesus. But the Bible also says this. You see, the devil is using scripture, the Bible, against the one who wrote the Bible. About audacity. You think you're going to scare the devil? If he's coming to Jesus and we think we can handle him, there ain't no way. There's no way. He looks at Jesus and says, that was pretty good. He takes him up to a high pinnacle of the city and he looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, if you jump down, the Bible says that when you jump down, God will send angels and catch thee before you hurt yourself. That's what he tells him. Now imagine if I took some of you up to the top of this church building here and I said, hey, the Bible says in Psalm, because he's quoting Psalm 91, portion of Psalm 91. If I took you up to the pinnacle of this church up here and I say, Psalm 91 says that if you jump down, God will send an angel and catch you before you hit the ground. How many of you are going to jump? Not one of you unless you're not right in your mind. You're going to look at me as pastor or preacher and be like, man, you're crazy, man. I'm crazy. This is a crazy church right here. Yeah, I'm a little crazy. but I thank God for it. But I know not enough to jump off this building, if you quote the Bible to me. Right? You see, the problem is the devil misquotes the Bible. He takes a word out and he puts a few words in that are not in Psalm 91. That's why every word of God is important. And if there's errors in that book, I'm no longer going to be your pastor. I'm going to go do some fishing this morning or something else. I'm going to sleep in. And I'm not coming to church ever again. If this Bible that I'm holding in my hands is not God's words, then I'm going to stop being a Christian. And not only am I not going to be a Christian, I'm going to make fun of every Christian I know if this isn't the very word of God. Because you're wasting your time. I believe that this is the very word of God that he has for us today in the age and the hour that we're living in. And I believe you can trust it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And one thing I do know, and I don't much because I'm not very smart, I know that the devil wants nothing more than to mess with what God says. You see, because your feelings are going to let you down. Your depression is going to come in. Your anxiety is going to sweep over you. Sadness is going to try to knock you out. And it's during those times that the only thing you can do is say, that's what the Bible said, and I believe it. I might not feel it. I might not know it. I might not see it right now. I'm in the midst of the fog and a storm. But I know one thing. My anchor holds to the rock. Jesus Christ will never, ever, ever let you down. But you see what Jesus does in verse number 7? Jesus doesn't look at the devil and say, well, Satan, you just misquoted. Satan, let's go down there to the synagogue and let's open up the scrolls to Psalm 91. And Satan, I want to show you, you misquoted this verse right here. He didn't take the bait. Jesus didn't even touch the question that the devil was asking. Look what Jesus says in verse number 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus looks at him as he's there on that pinnacle and the devil's telling him to jump. And he looks at the devil and says, it is written in the book of Deuteronomy, devil, it is written in the book of Deuteronomy that you're not to tempt the Lord your God. You see, this is what I believe. I believe if you got a 3-story apartment and you live on a 3rd-story apartment and all of a sudden the fire breaks out down below and there's only a 1 window and you're standing there and there's a time to pray, God protect me, keep me safe, I'm getting ready to jump down into those firemen. I believe that scripture in Psalm 91 is applicable to that. You see, there's a reason why you're jumping out the window rather than just to do it to prove who God is. Do you see the difference between the two? One is tempting God, the other is not tempting God. There's a difference. And Jesus looks at the devil and says, I'm tempting God if I try to jump. Because he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. The last thing the devil does to him, verse number 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. You see what the devil wants? The devil wants the worship that belongs to God for himself. I'll give you everything you see, Jesus, even though he already knows that he owns it all anyways. He tells Jesus, look, Jesus, all the kingdoms of the world you can see, I'll give if you just fall down and worship me. You see, the devil wants worship. But the Bible says there's only one word of worship, and that's the Lord God Almighty. But there's a lot of people out there today that are basically willing to sell their soul to the devil. And I believe it happens. I believe there's some out there that they've sold their soul to the devil, and they've gotten everything that they possibly want in complete misery. You tell me some little rock band off in a garage somewhere in some little podunk town somewhere all of a sudden skyrockets and gets a hit, and now is You tell me sometimes there ain't some things in there that just doesn't make sense. Like all of a sudden now they're popular and they got all this fame and they got all this fortune. I believe that this morning. I believe you could sell yourself to the devil. But I also believe if you did it, you could still get saved too. But it's going to be a hard way to get saved. You see, brethren, there's another realm to this thing. There's a spiritual side that's going on before our very around us right now that we can't see with our eyes. There's a real devil. There's real devils. There's a real God. And there's a real Savior, His Son, Jesus Christ. There's real angels and there's real devils. And there's battles going on, things going on right now that we can't even see in the spiritual realm. And I believe the devil, some people do sell themselves to the devil, and the devil gives them everything they want. They give them fame, they give them fortune, and also comes with it, which he doesn't tell you. See, the devil doesn't tell you all the bad things that come with it. He doesn't tell you that you're going to have all these women, but then you're going to have all these diseases as well. He doesn't tell you you're going to get these drugs, but you're going to be a drug head the rest of your life, and you're going to be miserable in it because you can't get free from your addictions. He doesn't tell you that. He doesn't tell you, yeah, you have a good time at the bar, you drink, and you do this, but then he doesn't tell you the repercussions that come after it. See, all the devil always shows you is the good stuff. He never shows you the bad stuff that comes along with it. Jesus Christ wants nothing but good for you. That's the truth. He wants nothing but the best for you. But he wants it according to his word. Not according to your dictates in your own mind of who you think God is and what God should do for you. See, that's where the church errs. Most churches say God wants the best for you. He does want the best for you. But it's not exactly the way they say it. Jesus looks at him here, verse number 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I went a little off this morning what I was supposed to preach or what I was going to preach concerning Jeroboam. But I think it's applicable. Because the devil messed up Jeroboam, the devil messed up Solomon, the devil messed up with the best men in the Bible, David, Abraham, Adam. He caused problems for a lot of men in the Bible, good men and good women in the Bible caused problems for them. I want you to think this morning about how important the Bible is, how important the Word of God is, and what God can do for you if you will serve Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm not talking about religion this morning. I've said it numerous times in this church, and I've said it numerous times through the years. I despise religion. I can't stand religion. What it does to people. How they have a false security of a God. And they have a false security of a heaven. They have a false security of, and it's not according to truth. They think, well, just because I believe in God, then I'm going to heaven. No, just because you believe in God does not mean you're going to heaven. Has Jesus Christ made you a new person? Has He made you a new creature? Can you say like Amazing Grace, the song John Newton wrote about Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. There's been a change in me that I can only explain by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He took away my sins in truth, and now the lights have come on. You see, this is what happened when you get saved. When you lost, it's this right here. When you get saved, you know the lights come on. You know there's a difference. I knew there was a difference when I got saved March 19, 2000. I walked out of that church building like the sky was bluer, the leaves were greener. It was like this whole new life just now in front of me because of what Jesus Christ did for me. It was different. It was different than anything I ever experienced before in my life. He's changed me. And you know what else He's done? He's put a governor in me. And that governor is the Holy Spirit. What does a governor do on an 18-wheeler truck? It controls how fast it can go. You put a governor on a go-kart for little kids because the go-kart might be able to go 60 miles an hour, but you don't want no little 5-year-old or 6-year-old riding on it going 60 miles an hour. They're going to hurt themselves. So you put a governor on it to where it can only get 10 miles an hour or whatever they can handle. You see, when you get saved, you now have a governor in you, which now helps you to control your passions, your desires, your lust of your flesh. You now have a battle on the inside and the strength now to do the right things for God. That's what Jesus Christ does for you, and that's what true salvation will do for you. I just ask you to think this morning, that's all. I don't want you making no decision unless God's asking you to make a decision. I just want you to think. I don't want to play church. I'm tired. I don't want to play church. I don't want to play church. I want power with God. And I want this church to have power with God. So this community can see that there's a difference here. There's a difference than any other church you might walk into. That we have the truth of the Word of God. And God makes the difference. Not me or anybody that's in here. It's God that makes the difference. It's Him. It's all about Jesus Christ, the one who loved us, the one who gave Himself for us, and the one who keeps us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I just thank You to be alive this morning. Lord, I thank You for the very breath that You're allowing me to breathe. God, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve, Lord, to have any of Your goodness extended to me. Lord, but You give it anyways, Father. Because You love us. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish. But Lord, we wouldn't perish, but You, Lord, You're willing to give us eternal life. And I thank You for it. And Lord, I ask now, Father, You just be with these brethren. I thank You for the visitors this morning. Lord, I pray You dismiss us with Your blessings. I pray that we would just think about where we truly stand with You. And Father, if there's anybody here this morning that's lost, that's never experienced true salvation through Your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, they've never had their sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb of God, I pray, Lord, that You bring conviction upon them. Lord, I pray You'd show them, I pray You'd make it clear as day their true spiritual state. And Lord, help us now, the rest of this day, Father, just to give You all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'd like you to do is take the blue hymn book. And I'd like to sing this song before we dismiss. Give me 1 second here while I find it. Okay, let's sing this here. Page number 170 in the blue hymn book. Page number 170, and if you're able this morning, if you're physically able to stand, I'd like you to stand. Page number 170.
sin. Lord, there's nothing that we could do. We couldn't possibly do enough good to earn favor in your sight. But when you look at us, you see us as sinless, perfect beings, yes, because you look at us through the blood of your Son, Jesus, amen, Christ. And thank you for that. What an amazing thought. Lord, help us to think about that as we go our way, and help us to want to share that good news with other people. And Lord, bless this church. Bless those that are seeking to know you better. Bless those that are hurting. Draw us closer to yourself and to each other. We'll thank you for what you're going to do in the future here. We'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All dismissed. Love you.